Good morning and God bless you. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis and the fourth chapter. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. And we'll call today's message, What Did Cain Do Wrong? What did Cain do wrong? Father, I pray now that everyone here would listen with their heart and pay attention to this as it really is the Word of God, and that we would learn from this and not just try to do things our own way, but do them your way, the way you've prescribed it, the way that pleases you. May we please you by worshiping through your Word this morning. Turn our eyes and hearts to you. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Father, speak. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text today is right near the very beginning of the Bible, right at the start of human history. And here you see the first mention of worship in the Bible. Now, there was obviously worship going on before that, I'm sure, but here it is depicted for the first time. And it was worship by the giving of offerings. And it was given by the first two children ever born, Cain and Abel, who were now adults. And here, in the first act of worship that you see, we see the first issue of false worship. And it wasn't the worship of a false god. It was false worship of the true God. Now here's the scene. Both Cain and Abel gave an offering to the one true God. So they both knew and believed in God, the right God, the real God. They both brought proper offerings according to their occupations. Abel was a shepherd, so you would expect an animal sacrifice, an animal offering. And Cain was a farmer, so you would expect his offering to be of his produce. So far, so good. But while Abel's offering was accepted, Cain's offering was rejected. Why? Now, you might have heard lots of theories about this, and you might have heard that God accepted Abel's offering because it was a blood offering. It was a foreshadowing of Christ's offering, God's offering for sin, right? And prior to the cross of Christ, sin offerings always did involve the shedding of blood. As Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now, today we live after the cross, and we rely on the shed blood of our Savior alone as the final sacrifice for our sin, as we have on our cross up here. It is finished, the final sacrifice. Amen. But Cain and Abel lived in ancient history, and they had an example taught to them. You just turn back the page, and in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, they tried to cover themselves with leaves, and God took animal skins and covered them instead. So there is the pattern. And Adam and Eve no doubt told this story to Cain and Abel. So maybe it's true. Maybe Cain made the wrong kind of offering. However, this text does not mention that God had told Cain and Abel to make a sin offering. And it doesn't say that Cain's type of offering wasn't as good as Abel's. And the Bible tells us about offerings of grain and produce that are acceptable to God in the book of Leviticus. There's nothing in this text or in the Bible that proves that the offering type, the kind, was the reason for God's rejection of Cain and his acceptance of Abel. And the type of offering isn't the point of the text. It's about something else. Still, that's the title of our message. Why? What did Cain do wrong? And Cain was rejected. God did reject Cain's offering, and he did accept Abel's offering. So the question remains, why? The answer is that although Cain had faith in God, his offering was not given from a heart of faith towards God. God rewards those who diligently seek him, as we read this morning at the beginning of the service, and as Hebrews 11:6 states. But Cain was seeking reward, not God. What this means is what we will unpack today. And then you'll see clearly what false worship of the true God looks like. Then you can guard your heart against this type of worship in your life. Are you ready to learn? Amen? You ready to do spiritual war? You ready to put down what you think is worship if it's not of God and pull up what God says is true worship? I hope your answer, it must be yes. Now, let's find out a little bit more about what was going on with Cain here. In the New Testament, Hebrews 11:4, again, we read this morning, says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Now, this makes it clear that Abel gave something that represented his faith. But Cain gave something that represented something other than faith. It wasn't the type of gift or the quality of the gift, but the condition of the heart that made the difference. The reason for giving the gifts matters. Now, I want to make sure that you understand something. When you see this, your mind might wander and you think that, well, this is some sort of, he was going to accept one and not the other. And this wasn't some sort of worship competition. Think about that. You go to a worship competition. I know you did it before. Worship competition? It wasn't as if God was pitting Cain versus Abel and only one would be accepted. No, in verse 7, you see God clearly telling Cain that his offering would be accepted if he offered it rightly. But he didn't. Now, the issue becomes much more clear when we see the results. The text doesn't tell us how God communicated his displeasure. But they knew it. Cain knew that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, and he knew he didn't accept his. And when God rejected Cain's offering, Cain became angry. That's verse 5. And he became so overwhelmed with anger that he murdered his brother. We saw that in verse 8. And you might think, wow, now I can get angry and feel like, you know, I'm going to kill that guy or something like that. But to actually do it, and this was right near the beginning of history. There's only two children alive. And they're adults now. And so Cain somehow got so angry, he overpowered his brother and slew him. You think he was actually mad at God? Yes, but oh, isn't that what people do today? How could this happen? It was because, as 1 John 3:12 says, Cain's deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. This points to not only what Cain did after his offering was rejected, it also points to what was going on before the offerings were even made. Now, here's your clue. This is what's going on. Cain was wicked. And as Proverbs 21:27 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? Cain was living a wicked life to begin with. And he was worshiping God with wicked intent. He didn't seek God truly, he was seeking God falsely. How so? Cain wanted to live according to his own wicked desires and thought he could placate God with his offering. How many people do that very thing today? Cain wasn't interested in giving up his sin. Cain wanted to continue to live as he desired, not as God desired, and worship as he wanted in his own way, not God's way. Cain didn't come with a humble, honest, repentant heart, so God rejected Cain's offering. It's as if he came to God and said, God, God, please help me with this, and I'll give you this. And it's like, what's behind your back? No, 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 God, I'll give you this. Please do this, as if you can bargain with God. So he's making this offering, and as if, you know, now God's going to get off his back, or God's going to get on his side. Friends, that's what the pagans do. I'm not saying if you had a bad Saturday, you don't come in here Sunday and worship God. Amen. But you better be honest about it. You don't have to tell the whole world, but you at least got to tell God. And that's not what was going on with Cain. He was wicked. And he wanted to stay wicked and thought, well, as long as I give an offering on Sunday, it doesn't matter how I live. As if grace is a license, isn't it? As if you could buy your way. Doesn't that sound like something? A certain church and their thing called indulgences? Exactly. Not hard to do the math there. Right at the beginning of the Bible. The problem was not with what Cain brought to God. You're missing the point. The problem was with how and why he brought it. The problem was Cain's heart and motivation. Cain didn't keep a short account with sin. And then he expected to just be able to give an offering and everything would be okay. With no repentance required. Hallelujah, right? No repentance required. His worship wasn't humble. It wasn't honest. It wasn't repentant. It wasn't faithful. It was false. And God said Cain was in danger of getting worse. Listen to the instruction God gives about how sin works. Look at Genesis 4:7 again. God tells Cain that when he does something bad and then he's exposed, the temptation is to give in further to sin. And God pictures this sin as an animal waiting to pounce on its prey. Sin's at the door waiting to catch you, to get you, to eat you. You don't keep short account with sin. That sin gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it overwhelms you. Cain was so wicked he thought he could bring an offering to God and it would be okay. And he wanted to keep his little pet over here who was bigger than him. If you don't repent of the sin and resist the temptation to further rebel, then sin will cause greater damage in your life. Someone brings it up, say, brother, I saw the way that you were talking to this person or that person. You go, it doesn't matter. Then two people come, three people come, you see it over and over again, and you keep excusing it or whatever, and you get warped. You need to keep a short account with sin. He didn't just all of a sudden decide, because one time God did this, it was because he was exposed for what he was already doing, and then he saw something righteous, and he just couldn't have any of that. Do you see? He didn't fall overnight. It was over time. All the worship in the world won't excuse your unrepentant rebellion. It might make you feel good, but it won't please God. And that's the point. We think worship is meant to please us, but it isn't authentic worship unless it pleases God. Cain gave an offering for reasons that were not pleasing to God. But God gave Cain a remedy. God meant this for encouragement. God tells Cain that instead of going further down that road of rebellion, Cain can fix the situation by mastering the sin that is controlling him. That's our recording. And God bless you. Listen to what we're saying here. Look at the verses. You can see them right there and see what God is telling Cain. When God reproves you, in other words, he exposes you, he exhorts you, it is for your good. Don't turn away from God and turn to sin. Rather, repent of the sin, resist further rebellion by turning to God. He said, you've got to master it. You think, I can't do that. You actually turn to God with a humble, repentant, honest faith. Understand that you can't pay for that. You can't buy your way out of that. You can't atone for it on your own. You must rely on God, not thinking, I'm going to justify myself because my sins aren't as bad as that guy over there. Right? Oh, you like Abel and what he did. I'm the one that did all this work. I'm the older brother. I'm a good guy. We all have issues. You know, mom and dad are the ones that fell. It's their fault. Why won't you? Come on. And God ain't hearing that. And so what do you do with it? You project it onto somebody else. How are you treating people these days? I like this new pulpit. Oh, yeah. Don't turn away from God and turn to more sin. That's what happens. You get exposed. You think, well, excuse me. And you get worse and your face falls. And then you just go off on your own and you stew. And then what happens? It gets worse. Then you think you're going to come to church and pray just praise your way out of it? Maybe, if your heart's going to change. But if you're coming hypocritically thinking, you know, I'm doing this and I can still have all that. Really? Repent of the sin. Resist further rebellion by actually turning to God. Cain's offering was rejected, but God made Cain a promise. Hear that. He says, if you do good, won't you be accepted? God says he's ready to accept what Cain offers, if Cain will do it like God asks. Part of true worship is true repentance. That's the lesson here. You accept what God says. You turn to him to tell you what to do about it. Part of false worship is false repentance. You avoid what God says, and you turn to self-justification. Anybody hear me? Unfortunately, Cain didn't learn his lesson, did he? And his sin multiplied and amplified. What we said earlier, that it gets worse and all that. God was saying that to Cain. Sin's waiting at the door to get you. You're already in it, but it wants to bite more. You think you can bite off a little chunk of sin like it's chocolate, as if you ain't going to want more. And I'm here to tell you, and you know it too. Your conscience agrees, society proves, and the Bible just declares. Cain didn't listen, and so his sin multiplied and amplified because this was before. He had been being wicked. He brought this offering with a wicked intent, and God says, no way, Jose. And then he goes, excuse me. And he goes, wait now. If you do right, if you turn back, if you are honest about this, if you want to change your ways, if you're trying to be repentant, asking me for you to help, and offering this offering as gratitude to me, then that's one thing. But if you don't do that, this is going to get worse. Cain was angry at God's rejection and response. He doesn't repent or resist, and his rebellion manifests as anger at his brother. Those with evil actions will naturally hate those with righteous actions. Those with evil actions will naturally hate those with righteous actions. And the evil in Cain's heart was further revealed when the Lord asked him, where's your brother Abel? To which Cain replied, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? In verse 9, we saw. In this response, Cain lies to God and shows an amazing level of disrespect and irreverence. People say, I want to hear the voice of God. You're going to say that back to him? Imagine this. Cain was being snarky with God. I don't know where he's at. Of course he knew where he's at. He's in the ground. If he even decided to bury him. As if God doesn't know. God asks all sorts of rhetorical questions all the time. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. Cain being snarky with God. False worship warps your view of God and your value of God. The longer you do it, the worse you will get. Cain's heart wasn't after God. He gave his offering as a means of buying the favor of God. That's not true worship. You see it a lot today. You see it on television a lot. You see it on the internet. You see it all kinds of places. But that's not true worship. That's false worship. That's like living any old way you want and then trying to atone for your sins in your own way rather than doing it God's way. That's trying to make a deal with God as if you traffic in his currency, as if your value and worth are in the same league as his. Think about that. As if you have something God needs. God needs nothing. He's a self-existent God. Everything else, even rocks and trees or things that are alive or aren't alive or even abstractions. Oh, yes. The transcendental argument for God. All things require him for them to exist in the first place. Get the biggest idea of God, not the one where he's dependent on something. Otherwise, that's not God. Otherwise, your imagination is God. And there's some New Thought people out there that teach exactly that. Yikes. Well, let's not get too off track here. The point is, God doesn't need your worship. Can you hear me clearly? God doesn't need your worship. He demands it for your own good. We get to do it. Let's do it right. You pervert it to your own demise. Abel gave in faith because he knew God was worthy and God was worth it. And I want you not to miss this fact. When we think about and worship and what we get out of it and all this, and I understand that and I can agree with that depending on what you mean by that. But think about this. It's a fact and you can't deny it. It's right there in the text. Everybody knows it. Abel's worship pleased God. Amen? And yet, what did he get in return? Death. There's that word again. Yet Abel's faith still speaks to us today. As Hebrews 11:4 says, and we read this morning, that was his return. That was his reward. An eternal testimony to his faithful worship and the greatness of God. Our God is worthy of your worship. Just because he commands it. Just because you got to do it. Just because you've been created and born again to do it. Just because that's what we're going to be doing forever. But also because he just is worthy of because of who he is. He's God. Abel knew this. Cain somehow was bringing God down to his level. Am I my brother's keeper? As if God doesn't know? And by the way, the answer to that is yes. Now, as we like to do, let's get real. I mean, application time, right down to you. We all have sins. No good deeds or sacrifices in God's name can atone for sin. Everything we do is tainted by sin, even our worship. I can't wait for heaven. This is a dress rehearsal, but imagine everybody's going to like all the music when we get there. There won't be any songs that, you know, this is just not my flavor. I like vanilla. Hallelujah. Whether we're supposed to raise hands or not raise hands, I guess we'll find out then. There'll be some other things I don't even need to go into. Heaven's going to be great. Jesus is going to be there. Are you going to be there? Hallelujah. That's right. Yes. But nothing we can do can atone for that, but we get the opportunity to worship him through that. Even though it's not perfect, it's becoming more perfect. And we can give it falsely when we're not humble, when we're not repentant, we're not actually faithful. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're purposeful. We come saying, Lord, in my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could pay the price for your sins. And our worship is a result of that, our response to that. When people don't do worship in the way that God prescribes, it is false worship. Doesn't matter how good they feel and they're on fire and all this other stuff. That stuff is the caboose. That's not the engine. Truth is the engine. Honest, humble, repentant, you're talking to God. And when you're worshiping, we're talking to each other, but we're also talking to God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, but I'll just do whatever I want to for the rest of the day. Now you might even say, bring that to God. Say, God, I feel like I'm still going to do this stuff. That's more honest, right? Cain wasn't being honest. Cain was being a hypocrite. right here at the beginning of the Bible. The first time we see worship, half the people got it wrong. And these are people that knew God. Whoops. Do you think that percentage has gotten more or less? Think. When people don't worship in the way God prescribes, we may do a little series on false worship. We're doing it on Wednesdays. Perhaps we'll lift some of that and bring it on, because we can be sincere even. You're saying, well, his problem is he wasn't sincere. Sincerity is no substitute for truth. And you can be sincere and still be worshiping, because when they worship those golden calves, they didn't call them Baal. They were calling them Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai. Oh, yes. But it makes me feel good. Let me say this my way. I don't care. Do good. Feel good comes later. Feel good comes because you have faith and you know that you're doing good. Not because I feel good, that means I'm doing good. Get it. Cain, that's why he was so upset. Because he thought he was doing good. Right? Well, this is just what we do. I'm giving an offering to God. I'm acknowledging God. I worked hard for this. And God says, no way. How would you feel? When we go through a sermon or you hear it online and no one else has to listen, so that's why I like it better. When your brother comes directly to you, what do you do? What is your response? They're just not right. Well, they might not be right, but maybe there's something there that's for you. You going to kill them? Because you're really stabbing God. Oh. If we don't do worship the way God prescribes, then it's false worship. And what God prescribes is a humble, honest, repentant faith. It's not perfect. It's humble. It knows he's God and I'm not. I'm not anything like him. I have his image in, and I've got the Holy Spirit in me, but he is God Almighty. I don't exist without him. And yet I've been born again by him. Praise God. Humble, honest, God. Done said those words again. Done looked at that thing again. Been holding that unforgiveness. I know, oh, Lord, help me, help me. And it's Communion Sunday, right? We come with repentance every time. Because repentance is turning around, turning your mind. And when we turn to Jesus, that is actually repentance. Because the only way you're going to give up that sin is to look at God and see him as more beautiful anyway. Yeah, exactly. Anybody have any experience with that? Nobody but me? I saw half a hand. That should be what we raise our hands and shake them like that. That's what we should be saying. Humble, honest, repentant faith, like Abel, not like Cain. He is worthy, and he is worth it. Heavenly Father, I am thankful that you give us this example right here at the beginning of the Bible. It's scary to me. It's sobering to me. But it's also safe for me. Help us to be honest with you, and to be honest when we're not honest. And to be humble when we need to be humbled, which is always. Give us more light. That way we see the dust and know that we are but dust and ashes, but that you consider us, knowing that that's what we are. And you call us to you anyway. And you reward those that diligently seek you. Help us to seek you, not what you give, but who you are. Because that's what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are interested in the IDES project, September 22nd, or if you would do it, but you can't do it on that day, and we'll see what we can work with if there's another day. But we can all travel together, be there and all that. Again, 50,000, imagine that. Then let me know about that. Yes. Think about that. Yeah, 400,000 because we're going to do it twice. Think about that from the people of Ukraine. No Sunday service this evening. We will be there on Wednesday. Remember to pray for each other. Now may the Lord. This is from 1 Kings 8, 51 through 57. May the Lord our God be with you. May he not leave you nor forsake you, but incline your heart to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments. May he maintain your cause as each day requires, that everyone on earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may he keep your heart wholly true to him today and every day. Amen. Until next time, I'll see you here, there, or in the air.